On top of providing valuable content, one of the pleasures of producing podcasts is showcasing characters with character. And that theme seems appropriate for this episode about how to sell better and synergize more smoothly between marketing and sales.
What is the DNA of business marketing? How do we market ourselves now and in the future? Brand communications is evolving. Are you? Let's explore together. Spiral upwards. This is Spiral Marketing.
Nima Semnani is a charming fellow.
Well-suited, experienced, and trained for sales consulting. Nima has spent his entire career driving sales and profitability for Fortune 500 companies, as well as developing sales processes, sales training programs, building sales teams, and leading business development for innovative startups. He is the founder and president of Precision Sales Consulting, a Sandler training company, based in Northern Virginia, focused on sales training, management training, sales process development, and implementation. Prior to entrepreneurial life, he enjoyed an award-winning career in the medical device sales arena. Nima graduated with merit from the London School of Economics, completed a post-baccalaureate at the National Institutes of Health, and graduated with honors from Ohio Wesleyan University. Now, Nima, didn't you also study medicine?
Well, that was the... I think every Persian growing up in the States studies medicine or science at some point. It's a rite of passage. The post-baccalaureate, so undergraduate was science-focused, and then the post-baccalaureate in immunology at the NIH was kind of the final foray before I went into, well, the business side of medicine. So I guess it didn't really leave me immediately.
I see.
Yeah. The running joke, and I've just said this joke so many times, it's not even funny. Probably never was funny, but if you're Persian, you're growing up, you can do anything you want. You can be a doctor or an engineer.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of the plug-and-play joke for any immigration story to the United States. So.
Interesting. Well, Nima, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So Nima, as an expert executive sales coach, what is your experience with the bridge between marketing and sales?
Well, and this kind of goes back to my medical device sales days. It was always interesting to me that when you report up through a vertical within an organization, you get to the VP and president of sales and marketing. And it was always interesting that they put those two together. I suppose they have to put those two under some umbrella. But they, to me, always just seem to be pretty different, almost like different parts of the brain. And so... in my experience and my opinion, I consider myself to be a pretty good salesperson and have a good sales mind, a knack for process and development and solution selling. I'm a terrible marketer. I'm an atrocious marketer. If there was a better tie between those things, I'd probably be better at it. And I could be wrong, but my opinion and the reason why I think there's somewhat of a difference between sales and marketing and how it's operated is for me, you know, marketing in many ways is kind of the positioning of what you know about your target demographic, what you know are potentially the symptoms of your target market and who may become suspects and then prospects. And that obviously ties in with what sales is problem-solving endeavor. But sales is more the mechanism, more the process to begin the cycle and from suspect to prospect to a decision, be that a yes or no. So I don't know if I'm alone by being a salesperson, a sales trainer, sales consultant that doesn't really fancy himself to be a very good marketer.
You're your worst critic, man. You're really not bad at it at all. Well, I mean, it's a nice sound bite, but you're as far as most entrepreneurs go, you're really not a bad marketer.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a kind of you to say. I think what I realized for me is I could have the best sales methodology, sales process, and program in the world. I ultimately need to increase the number of at-bats I have, the number of opportunities I have, the number of people who know what I'm doing and the good things I'm doing out there and be able to leverage that.
Excellent. So, Nima, what do you think are the three best tips for entrepreneurs trying to build a sales team that works well with the marketing team?
That's a great question. I get asked this question a lot as someone who's had a career in large organizations, been a part of a startup team, as well as been effectively a solopreneur. One of the things I realize is something that many entrepreneurs who I speak with struggle with the most is this desire to chase what we call the purple squirrels. Huh. Especially early on, you're out there, you're grinding, you're in survival mode, you're trying to build your business, and people are going to pay you money to perform some sort of task. And maybe your gut's telling you, this is not really what I should be doing. Maybe I'm deviating too much from my lane. So again, the first thing I'll say to this, not exactly answering your question, is the biggest tip of any tip I could give to any entrepreneur is fight the urge the best you can to go outside of your core competencies. Ask yourself the question. I think a lot of people ask the wrong question. They ask themselves, what happens if I don't get this business? What do I stand to lose if I don't get this business? The real question, when you have a finite amount of bandwidth, what happens if you do get the business and you are basically having to deliver on it? And I'm sure you'll be able to do it, but should you do it? So the idea of kind of knowing what's important to you, knowing where you really excel, and doing everything in your power to fight the urge to go outside of that lane when you have a finite amount of bandwidth. It's kind of a tough piece of feedback and suggestions to make entrepreneurs because we, by our very nature, are very stubborn and think we know everything. But it's kind of like the don't get creative. Your idea and your passion should be highly creative. Your process, probably less so. So find out what's important to you. Stay in your lane. Focus on it. And do everything you can to make it happen. As far as the best tips for entrepreneurs trying to build a sales team that works well with the marketing team. Another question I get asked a lot. The biggest mistake, in my opinion, and there are exceptions, but the biggest mistake, in my opinion, that early stage companies make is they go and they hire people with the most specific set of experience, maybe the largest Rolodex, maybe they're industry experts. And you do want those people in your organization. In your senior roles, you want that expertise. You need that. And I'm not saying it's a mistake to hire those people. I think more often than not, when people get to a certain point in their hiring of salespeople, they realize they spent most of their time trying to hire the people with the most experience and the most tenure and this giant Rolodex of connections and contacts, and they're going to open these doors and they're the rainmakers. And not saying those people aren't important. What I'm saying is not more often than not, but many times they look back and say, with that came a lot of baggage, a lot of entitlement, having to command a high salary and variable compensation. And quite frankly, a lot of the leverage they've given to the organization was through these top-heavy salespeople. So I think there needs to be a mix of people who are able to be the boots on the ground, the grind it out, the follow a process to correspond with and support your heavy hitters and your people who are maybe your most senior, more experienced people. And then obviously with that comes the ability to really understand the various lanes, what marketing's function is and what the sales function is, and making sure those two things exist to complement one another. So salespeople knowing boots on the ground, what's happening out in the field, what are the symptoms that they are effectively acknowledging and paying attention to, and what are really the problems they're solving? That's what the sales part is. You're selling the outcome. And then the marketing part supports that by saying, okay, well, if we know these are the outcomes, these are the most common problems that we solve, pains that we solve, then marketing is the best thing in the world when it comes to being able to capture as many net new opportunities by being able to go after those symptoms that exist to give the sales team the most opportunities to work their process.
Wow, that was a great blueprint. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
On top of providing kind of a visual map, I really like the pattern between right brain and left brain and different parts of the brain that's happening as we talk about both best practices for sales and communicating between marketing and sales. And we've had conversations around this before. And one of the items that I find interesting from a marketer's perspective is empathy. Because I think you and I can both understand each other's differences and our differing positions, but I think understanding those differences is key to a kind of synergy and multiplication of force and efforts.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Do you mind if we talk about that for a second?
Please.
Empathy. This might come as a little bit of a surprise to the listeners, or maybe not. Empathy is one of the most important things that exists in humanity. Too much empathy in the sales force, in the selling process, is not a good thing. And it's something that a lot of times working with sales teams, executives, it's hard for them to really appreciate. With empathy, again, not no empathy. I'm not saying we're hiring sociopathic robots, but but too much empathy comes with this high need for approval, high need to be liked. They need the validation. And what we talk about a lot in my organization and within Sandler is sales is not a place to have your emotional needs met. When we have people who have too much empathy, that can lead to being willing to accept the, okay, well, I'm okay with cutting the price because it's in the best interest of the prospect and the client. I'm okay with accepting a bunch of, well, okay, I'll think it over, I'll let you know, or send me a proposal and I'll make a decision, or I want to shop it around. Too much empathy can actually be complicit in many of the challenges that salespeople have. So, that's the the dark side of empathy, I guess.
That's interesting. It's good to consider. Let's talk about Sandler for a minute. I think that we gave a really brief introduction of what you do and the fact that you're laying out these blueprints and providing guidance. I think it's implied. But for the listeners, could you briefly describe what is Sandler, why did you choose them, and what do you do for them?
Yeah, sure. So I own Precision Sales Consulting, which is a Sandler training company. And Sandler Training, we are a global leader in sales training, sales management training, process solutions and implementation. And typically, the kind of businesses we work with, they're doing pretty well. You know, in many cases, they're even having really good record years. But every now and then, they have some frustrations that are based around not being able to efficiently close enough net new opportunities. Maybe they're doing a lot of presentations and proposals and demos, and they're accepting, you know, too many think it overs, and that's really being able to impact their ability to be more efficient in their sales process. A lot of times it's something as simple as things are going pretty well, but we need to get in front of new customers. We need more opportunities. We're relying too much on our existing business to grow our revenue, and that impacts margin. So many ways, that's what Sandler does. We address those challenges that exist within even the best-selling institutions and institute a proven, replicable, systematic way to sell.
And why did you choose them?
Remember that, what was it? Remington Razor. I liked the product so much I bought the company. I am a big believer in training and reinforcement. And so I've been through Spin, and I've been through Miller Hyman and parts of Challenger. And I'll be the first to admit, listen, with the right mindset, right dedication, you'll probably be successful with any program, any process. What's that great saying? Imperfect plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. So for me, the Sandler training methodology was one that I had implemented in my previous life. I had built sales teams using many of the principles. So when I decided to make the foray into doing this as my forever business, I figured, well, why am I going to recreate the wheel? Why am I going to try to reinvent something that I already know I believe in? So when it came time to do it, I bought in and became a licensed Sandler training company.
Excellent. Thank you. Do you have a mantra or a question that you like to ask yourself to stay inspired?
Yeah, I think it's maybe at this point it's so well known that it's almost become cliche. But I think cliches exist for a reason.
Right.
I'm a big believer in the Simon Sinek start with why. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people buy why you do, not what you do. And so the thing that kind of keeps me going, keeps me inspired, because listen, it's not easy out there. It's tough out there as an entrepreneur. Stuff out there in business in general. But so kind of like my why is, you know, a few things. One, I think many entrepreneurs just have this whole idea where I'd rather succeed or fail based on my own efforts, merits, as opposed to being kind of a susceptible to the macroeconomics or like what we call like the external locus of control. Mm. I'd rather fail because of something I did, not because of something that was done to me. So I think as far as the mantra and what keeps me going is I know that I'm in most ways I can think of in control of my own destiny. And so I can't really control what other people do. I can't control the decisions people make, whether to buy from me, not to buy from me. But I can control my behaviors. I control what I do every day. And so my mantra, I suppose, is I am married to the process, not the outcome.
Love it. Great. Well, I know you and I are both Tim Ferriss fans.
We are.
And so to those listeners who are also Tim Ferriss fans, you'll recognize this question. Nima, what would you ask of my listeners?
What would I ask of your listeners? Well, I think the easy starters is I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm here to learn how to become a better marketer. And yes, I have marketing support now, but it's still something I want to get better at as becoming a more well-rounded individual. So I would love nothing more than for them to tell me, correct me, disagree with me on my thoughts of whether marketing sales are intertwined, but almost different animals, almost different sides of the brain, even though I'm probably using that incorrectly. But I would love to hear them disagree with me there or kind of point me in the right direction. And then I think the other one is I'm always curious to learn from other entrepreneurs why they would ever do something as crazy as what we do every day. Why would we do that? Well, leaving some salaries and, you know, guaranteed insurance and benefits and expense accounts and all the benefits that come with corporate America. Why do we do what we do? Why do we leave all that security for this, what I always refer to as the most painful thing you'll ever love, which is being an entrepreneur? I'm always curious. Well, why do we do what we do, I guess.
Love it. Challenge to engage and even disagree.
I love disagreement. I don't really learn anything when people agree with me.
That's great. All right. Well, Nima, what's the best place for people to learn more about you and to reach you?
Well, I can be found on LinkedIn. There's probably not a lot of Nima Semnanis out there. My company is Precision Sales Consulting. Website is www.precision.sandler.com. And most of their things are kind of threaded from there. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Incidentally, I wanted to mention that marketing support that Nima has is not me. There's no conflict of interest here. we're just friends and colleagues here. But Nima, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
So obviously sales is a discipline that takes practice and repetition. To be great often requires real training and often coaching. I don't believe anyone has cracked the code on working between marketing and sales, but like any relationship, the golden rule applies to treat others as you would like to be treated and work as a team and empathetically to each other's differing perspectives and positions. With that being said, thank you all for listening. I would also challenge you to engage and let us know any feedback and even disagreements. Okay, thank you so much for listening. Cheers.